baby, let's do it again. I know it's going to be one more time, but
I want you back.
Yeah, very close.
Oh, yeah.
Very close. Hi, everybody.
What a way to start the day. Ah, I'm sorry.
I want you back.
Wait. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. All kinds of things on today's show. We'll get to those next. But first, Andy Mazur, our friend Andy Mazur, we've convinced to stick around for a moment or two. Here's why, Andy.
All right.
A little while ago, a short time ago, a week and a half ago, I was watching the Little League World Series.
Okay.
And I noticed that the announcer calling that particular game was saying something, not incorrectly, but interestingly. And then I noticed today, you saying the exact same thing.
I know what this is.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. For years and years and years, as the game of baseball, America's pastime, has played out, the announcers, when telling the people listening to the game or watching the game how many RBIs a particular player has, would say he or she, well, probably he more times than not, has three RBIs, has two RBIs, has five RBIs. But now, those days are gone.
They are gone.
You say RBI,
not plural. RBI, yeah. And, you know, I got into this debate when I was working in San Diego, because we would get texts and tweets about, it's not a runs batted ins.
Right, right.
I mean, it's already
runs, is plural.
Runs batted in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's already the number of runs that he's batted in. So it's four.
Right.
For
I love
RBI.
When Bill tries to take people to task.
I'm not. No, no, no. The reason I want Andy here is to say, I bet for you, a person broadcasting or reporting on the games, you're going to get flack either way.
You are. You can't. You can't. The one part of the audience that's been saying RBIs for decades, don't like to change to the RBI, and it's. I really don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I mean, because the number is the thing that matters.
Right.
I mean, Ryan Lamar last night, that's why we were talking about it, drove in a career high four runs.
Right.
So he drove it. He had four RBI.
It does sound weird. I got to tell you.
It does, because we're so used to hearing it pluralized it throws you.
10 years ago, I would have said he had four RBIs.
Yeah. Would you consider alternating? Like doing an RBIs
I might do that tonight on the pregame show. I might go one RBI, one RBIs.
Well you can't do it with one.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean one time saying it and time saying it again.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right, what about, and you've brought this up before too, instead of saying third base men, they say third basemans,
they say. Ron Santo would always say he's one of the best third basemen in all of baseball.
Yeah, that's an interesting one there. That's not correct to me.
Right.
Third
what
baseman.
About attorneys general?
That one I always mess up.
Okay.
Good
what
thing
what
I don't
about
do
when
the
you're talking
thing.
About a singular White Sox player?
Yeah, that's tough.
Do you say
that's a
White
Sox?
That's why I say a White Sox player.
Yeah. I try to invent ways to not have to say a White Sox.
Yeah.
Because I'm wearing a White Sox and I'm not going to be covering a White Sox.
What about Jimmy Smits?
Jimmy Smits? I always want to say Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I always want to say Smith.
It's confusing. It's a good
thing
he doesn't play baseball.
It's just terrible. Yeah.
You don't have to say his name that often.
Exactly right. But White Sox player is or Sox.
Yeah.
Sox player.
You can say it that way.
I like that.
All right. So what does Major League Baseball have to do? Because now we'll have some announcers saying RBIs.
Yeah.
We'll have some saying RBI.
I think it's just like the publicity.
It's a is what it is. It's
a publicity machine.
That's
you know.
What it is.
They'll promote both just to, get the factions fighting and listening.
Yeah. I like that.
It's all good,
I like that. All right. What has happened to our White Sox all of a sudden the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
They look like a world-class baseball team. What was the switch that got flicked?
What's the common denominator in most championship-type baseball teams? Pitching. Pitching's been really good.
All of a sudden.
Pitching's been really, really good.
Knows what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, James Shields has not gotten much support. He hasn't had many RBI in his favor.
No.
And his record is terrible, but he's been keeping the White Sox in the game. And now you see Carlos Rodon. You see Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
You see Reynaldo Lopez last night. And now the kid is here, Michael Kopech.
The kid. Yep.
Who wins his first big league game on the road trip in Detroit. And I think that his arrival, and I don't think he would take credit for it. I don't know if Rick Hahn or his staff would say anything to it, but there was an energy in the ballpark the night that he made his first big league start.
Yeah.
And it kind of went through the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I think that there's just something about
rejuvenation.
It's like new blood coming into the and new expectations and new hopes coming into that clubhouse. You know, in the olden days of baseball, he would not have been as welcomed as he was. I talked to Ed Farmer about this all the time. You know, when Ed took his first trip through the clubhouse, he was replacing somebody else's buddy.
Yeah.
He was taking a roster spot from somebody. Now it's like, oh, we can't wait for the kid to get here. We got a locker right next to James Shields. We're going to show him around, and we're going to talk to him about game plans. And it's just this one big happy family.
Was there a degree, now we're talking about baseball of old, not current day, but was there the sentiment of, what has this kid done to deserve that kind of attention? He's just a kid. He hasn't even pitched in the major leagues. There was some of that.
Yep, and that even happened in the NFL when rookies would hold out before the slotting system. Guys that had gone through training camp and had gone through, you know, four or five NFL seasons would say, what has this kid done to earn that money? I'm working my rear end off here.
Right.
And I'm not getting a sniff of that. Maybe he's better than me, but it's just, you know, he hasn't proven anything yet. But it's changed. So much different now. And especially in this White Sox clubhouse now, where you have all these young guys who have come up the ranks together.
With personality, too. I was missing.
There's some personality on this club. Yomer Sanchez, if you have not had the opportunity to talk to this guy.
He taped himself to James Shields because he wasn't on the roster.
Yeah, he had the day off. He actually made his own little replay system where he was walking around with two Gatorade cups ready to go on the field.
It was cracking me up.
He has so much fun, and it's contagious. And the thing about it is, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if your team is losing and losing and losing and losing, people will say, you know, they should be upset about it. They should be upset about it. But these guys, you don't want them to get happy with losing. So there's a time and place, and I think Gomer's got a real good grip on when to and when not to.
Yeah.
You look at the guy and you start laughing because he's that personable a human being.
Good.
And he's a friendly guy.
Good.
Well, Madden did it right by when you have fun, you do better. It takes the pressure off a little bit.
Yeah, what do you say? Don't let the pressure, outweigh the pleasure, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
That was Madden's. But, you know, and these guys are just so young and learning in the game, and it's been amazing to watch some of their development. And I know there's a long way to go. This is a real small sample. This is a month of August. They're 16-11. And it's not like they've gotten a luck of a schedule because they've been playing some
tough
good teams. You know, they just took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees in New York.
They almost spanked the Yanks.
Yeah, and now they got the Red Sox coming in.
You can use that.
I like that.
Wendy, copyright that quick.
Yeah, now they got the Red Sox coming in for 4 games. So, and now you've got the extra little drama of Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech both facing the team that traded him.
Right.
And Chris Sale's on the DL, so he won't face the White Sox. But it's interesting to watch. And, you know, a lot of people wonder about Ricky Renteria and what goes on in that clubhouse. I've known him for a long time, and there's no better baseball guy.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
He's a great guy. He's the most positive human being you'll ever run into in your life. And the way that he's handling these guys is great because he does speak Spanish fluently, and there's a lot of Latin influence in that clubhouse.
Yeah.
But he also relates to everybody. He's a communicator. And I think he's done a really good job.
When he was the manager of the Cubs, he was something of a placeholder. Is he a placeholder with the White Sox
or
not?
It's too early to tell.
People thought that at first, though, I think.
It is. You know, he had an unfortunate situation where a guy became available.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's a decision between a guy that's had success already and a first-year guy,
right?
Yeah, you're probably going to go with the experienced guy, and the Cubs made the call. And I think Ricky understood it, and I think he understood that he's a good baseball guy and he was going to get another job, and he wound up bouncing back with the White Sox as the bench coach with Robin Ventura.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not so sure he's a placeholder because he really has never had an opportunity to manage a team that's actually had talent.
Yep. Yep.
And how's his health? Because I know that he was...
Yeah, he's good. I was texting with him that night in Minnesota, and he's like, I'm good. They just won't let me go. And he felt
just
good.
Just to be sure.
Yeah, he felt good, and he was appreciative, of course, that they were as thorough as they were, and he's keeping whatever they discovered very close to him, and that's his right, obviously, to keep it private.
Andy, before you go, there's a caller. Tom is on line one, and maybe he can explain. You've already explained it beautifully, I think, but he also has a little insight as to whether it should be RBIs or RBI. RBI. Tom, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fine. What do you know about this?
Not much, really, but in my own personal opinion, run batted in, RBI, is correct. Not runs batted in, because how would you say a singular RBI?
Yeah, because in the old days it was one RBI, two RBIs.
Yeah.
Correct.
And now it's...
Isn't the definition of an RBI a run batted in, not runs batted in?
It is, and I think that the term got all twisted around somewhere along the line. And it became runs batted in, because usually when you were talking about it, it was more than one.
Right. normally.
Yeah.
Why don't we just say a ribby, I like to say?
They call them steaks in the big leagues. Ribeyes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, they call them steaks.
Tom, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good show.
All right.
I've been a lifelong Sox fan, and I believe that Sox, you can tell a Sox fan from a Cubs fan when they say Ricky Renteria as opposed to Rick.
You know, and it's funny because he's gone through a few machinations. Now, if you hear Ed Farmer talk about him, it's Richie. When he came up, he was drafted by the Pirates in the first round of 1986 and came through the ranks. He was actually an original Florida Marlin, too. Yeah. He was on that team in 93. But he was Richie back then.
Really?
And then it became Rick. And then those that were close to him called him Ricky.
Maybe instead of RBIs, we should say Rick Renterias. We should pluralize that because there's so many incarnations
that
of him.
That sounds like they should
Rick is it?
Right. Yeah. Right.
That sounds like they need to see a doctor if we call it Rick Renterias.
Problem. Yeah, that's a problem.
There's a salve for that.
Andy, we'll be listening to you. You've got the pregame show tonight.
Got the pregame show tonight. We're going to be at Guaranteed Rate Field, 6:35. And Ed
White
and
Sox are playing some great baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. A four-game series starting tonight with the Red Sox.
Yep, very nice. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's Andy Mazur, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. What a wonderful band we have coming up for your listening pleasure coming up in just a little bit.
Muddy Waters was a legend. I mean, sure. I could just say Muddy Waters and stop there. This is the youngest son of Muddy Waters.
Andy Mazur asked us, I hope this is okay to say on the air, we said, he said, boy, that band sounds great, and we said, it's Muddy Waters' son, and he said, who is that, Murky Waters? But I don't think his name is Murky Waters, is it, Wendy?
No.
And, Andy's going to thank you for that.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he said, please, don't say that on air, whatever you do. And I said, we wouldn't. Why would we? But then we accidentally did.
Well, it probably would have, but Muddy Waters' real name was McKinley Morganfield.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a gorgeous name?
Did you ever see Eminem's real name, too?
I did not see him live in action. You did?
I think I saw him once in Milwaukee.
I was such a fan. Such a fan. Well, Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, the Mannish Boys, will be playing with us. And Ernie, one of our production guys, said, oh, my God, they're so good.
Hear it through the walls, he said.
He wanted to go in, but they're just warming up. Yeah. We have a full-blown band. They most recently celebrated Muddy Waters' birthday. Muddy spent his final years in Westmont, Illinois.
I'm shocked to hear this.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I love Westmont, but it doesn't seem like it'd be a place that, like if you were at Subway, if you were eating at Subway and you looked over and you go, is that Muddy Waters enjoying a ham and Swiss? It just doesn't seem right.
I'll have the ham.
There was a
little
bit of that.
Don't forget the cheese.
Oh. What a great ad campaign that would have been.
It would have been good.
Yeah.
But yes, Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, the Mannish Boys, will be with us after the 10:30 news. Full band is here. We are ready to roll.
I have a quick question for you. Yesterday, Senator John McCain's service was held while you and I were on the air. I didn't get to see it, but when I went home, Terry, my wife, said, you have to see this. It's beautiful. And I watched it. I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw a lot of it. I don't know if you got to see any of it. By far the most touching moment, it was great all the way through. When his wife, Cindy McCain, approached the casket yesterday, realizing, and I kept thinking about our talk with John Duffy yesterday about grieving. So his wife comes up and just kind of puts her cheek, rests her cheek on the casket, as her last way of saying goodbye. And
that said it all, didn't it?
That said it all. And then his kids came out one at a time and each got, 15 or 20 seconds with the casket, essentially. And Meghan McCain, who is probably the most prominent, well-known of his children because she's on The View and she's been a broadcaster for years, she just absolutely could not stop crying. It's beautiful and touching to watch, and I think most of us at some point in our life have been there where you're in that moment where you go, this is kind of it. I realize I've lost that person, but this is the last seconds with them, and boy, it's beautiful and stunning and hard to watch all at the same time.
But it also shows you how different family members grieve. Everybody has a different process. Sometimes you're just stoic and getting through it, and then you collapse after the services.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't stop crying, and you never know how you're going to react.
Right. I totally understood that moment for her. We've all had a couple situations where that moment plays out and you're just like, I knew this was coming eventually, and here it is, and it's impossible to handle. But it's beautiful. I mean, it's really, I think every parent hopes that their children will miss them as much as she obviously will miss her father, you know? Tough couple of minutes there.
I don't think about how my kids will miss me, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to wake up every morning.
Yeah. Right. Well, so far, your record's pretty good so far. You've woke up most mornings. There's been a few that we've had to call the house.
Who's that Wendy one wake last up? Year, remember?
Right?
Wait, you're so funny. I really often think about how much my kids will miss me.
Well, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but I hope. I mean, I would love for them to miss me half as much as she obviously will miss her dad. You know, I hope.
I hope my kids realize all the effort I put into them, because I got to be honest with you, until my mom passed away and then I had kids of my own, that's when I realized how much my mom gave everything for me.
It's nonstop, isn't it?
But it doesn't click right away. I mean, your mom's always there.
Yeah.
Your dad's there most of the time, but moms are always there. And then, you know, When I lost her, it was bad. But then when I had kids, I was bummed she never got to meet my kids. But after being a parent, I realized all the sacrifices she made for me.
Things become apparent that should have been, you should have realized
I should have,
a long time
and
ago.
I wish I would have.
That's why they call it apparent.
Right, Steve. That's why. Right. That is
why.
Where
did that word came from? Wow, now it's apparent to me.
That is one of my big regrets, though. Your mom got to see your girls,
yes.
And my mom didn't, but I wish I could have thanked her in advance of, you know, but I didn't know.
I know.
That's the only thing.
Part.
I mean, boy, they give everything, so. Yeah. All right.
We'll take a break, and then Steve
no,
has
there is
the,
no break.
There's no break. And for anyone thinking there's a break, stop it, because it's ridiculous.
And now you've given me the blues about John McCain, and we'll get into the blues after the news. Thank you, Steve. Now, Bill, it's Bill Lepp. It's Wendy Snyder. We have a special guest in the studio.
Very special guest. Guests.
Yes, that's true. There's more than one.
Many.
Joseph Mojo Morganfield, his band, the Mannish Boys. You, sir, the youngest son of McKinley Morganfield.
That is correct.
Better known as Eminem.
Was that playing a peanut?
Of Muddy Waters. There was a rock trivia game that I played years ago. I did rock radio for a long time at the Loop radio station, and I didn't know the McKinley Morganfield at first, but I've never forgotten it.
Okay.
And we were talking before you came in. He spent his last years in Westmont, correct?
That is correct. We moved to Westmont, I want to say 1973.
So you pretty much grew up there?
Pretty much, yeah. From third grade till I graduated until his death, yes.
And how old were you when you first played with your dad? And did you play with your dad?
As far as playing an instrument, no. I would rehearse and practice, and he would show me some licks. But as far as going on stage, his closing song was always Got My Mojo Working.
Yeah.
So he would call some of the family members on stage. So that was my moment to.
Is it possible to be related to Muddy Waters and not have musical ability? It's just got to be coursing through your veins, right?
I got two older brothers, Mud Morganfield, he's the oldest boy, and Big Bill Morganfield. And both those guys have been in this business for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone in the family is carrying on the tradition, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, good.
The whole point is to keep his legacy alive.
Yeah.
So we all are doing our parts to do that.
Good.
But we need to do more because, I mean, really, Chicago is the home of the blues. I know you have your Delta Blues, but Chicago is the home of the blues, and I feel like sometimes it's fading.
Chicago could do more to promote it. I don't know if they need to tap into their resources. A museum or...
Is there a museum? Is there a blues museum?
I think supposed to be working on one, but I haven't heard anything as of lately. So,
all right. And you guys just recently played Westmont Fest. That was in July. Was it a birthday party for your dad? I know you did an all-star blues jam. Was it around his birthday that you did it, or just because Westmont Fest and he was from there?
It's just because he was from there. Yeah. Usually they do it every year. They do a tribute to him.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it was actually, they combined it this year. Eddie Clearwater, who was also a resident of Westmont, so we both...
So the Westmont has the blues now and not Chicago? What's going on with that?
The blues has moved.
Do you want to introduce your bandmates?
Definitely. To my far left is Paul Handel. He's on harp.
How you doing?
Let the record show, Paul has the coolest hat I've ever seen in my life.
That's how people know me.
Beautiful.
Next to me is Maurice Vaughn, who needs no introduction. He does a lot of work on his own. I'm just fortunate enough for him to help me when he's available. But he plays keys and guitar.
Awesome.
Yes.
And then...
In the back is Billy Flynn, brother of Mike Flynn. He plays bass. So he comes from a musical family.
Does it always run in the family? Because,
It does to some extent, doesn't it? If you're the child of somebody who's got this ability, you're hoping like crazy it carries over.
Well, my dad would say that he could play the radio.
All right, and Rick is here as well?
Yes, Rick actually played with my dad, one of his last guitarists. I've been knowing Rick as a kid, and... just to have him on this team or have him with me is just phenomenal. He brings that Muddy spirit.
Oh, nice. Yes. Very nice.
What an honor to have played with Muddy Waters and now his son.
Oh, it was, yeah. It's like a dream come true, you know.
And Rick, how do you say your last name? I'm sorry.
Crayer.
All right, well...
I got one more. Don't forget about my drummer.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see... Why are you hiding over there?
Come here, Chris. This is Chris Alexander. Chris, tell me who your dad is. Tell them who your father is.
Oh, my father's name is Danson Perkins. He was the Maxwell Street blues legend.
Wow. Sweet. Yes. Impressive. Yes.
Why does Very everybody impressive. Make fun of drummers? Why are there so many drummers jokes? It's not fair.
It's not fair. We must stop.
Yes.
All right. Today's the last day to make fun of drummers, everybody. Enjoy yourselves.
You have the hardest thing because you have to set up your kit. I mean, really, guitars, you bring it, you plug in. Harmonica, you got nothing. Maybe a case of different keyed harmonicas. Pretty much it, yeah. But the drummer, you got to do all the work and everybody makes fun of the drummer.
Yes, I time myself.
How long does it take you to set up a kit?
No longer than 7 minutes now.
7 minutes, the whole thing?
Yes.
Good golly.
But you're going to get a hernia at some point from carrying it. You know that, right?
I'm trying to think about it.
No? All right, good.
You know what? Chris didn't tell you that the drummers just all the girls, though.
Oh. There's something to that. Yeah?
Although Bill has pointed out many times, you put a guy on stage and the girls swoon. I mean, who are some of your famous examples?
If Iggy Pop was an insurance salesman, I don't think too many women would find him attractive, you know?
All right. Big news. You guys have a new CD, EP. What are you calling it these days?
It's more like an EP, four songs only. Just a tester, put it out there and see what it does.
Couple of originals.
Two originals by my father, of course. And, oh no, two originals, two covers, excuse me.
Okay.
But the two originals by Terry Abramson and Derek Purcell.
All right. Yeah. And it's called Mojo Rising.
Mojo Rising, yes.
And when does it come out?
Actually, it comes out tomorrow.
Perfect timing.
Yes.
Boy, that is good timing.
So we are excited to see what it does.
And where do we purchase this?
You can get it on Amazon, Spotify. Mostly it's on all the online stuff. You can downstream, or you can order through my website also.
Is blues music, I know that its roots are in America, but is it understood and appreciated in other parts of the world the way that it is in the United States?
Oh, definitely.
States?
If you go to the UK, they love the blues there.
Yeah.
My father traveled there. Most blues men, even today, go there. Europe is very receptive of the blues.
Good.
Yeah. And think about it. A lot of the rock and roll was spawned from that. Led Zeppelin stole pretty much every old blues song that was out there. Seriously.
Yes.
Fleetwood Mac with Peter Green being in there, very blues.
The Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones,
sure.
Big time.
Eric Clapton, we can go on.
Yeah.
And on.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. And, Stevie Ray Vaughan did something to switch blues into rock. He kind of brought people's attention to it, don't you think?
I agree.
Reinvigorated it.
That Texas swing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, perfect. We've got Joseph Mojo Morganfield, his band, the Mannish Boys. Wonder where you got that from. and we're going to take a quick break. The new CD or EP, a four-song EP, comes out tomorrow, Mojo Rising. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify. You can also go to, what's your website?
Joseph Mojo Morganfield.
All right. JosephMojoMorganfield.com. You're also on Twitter, on Facebook, and we're going to take a quick break. Will you play some blues for us?
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
Love it. It's Beautiful. Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right, we're of course happy to be in the Allstate Skyline studio, and part of this is a very cool music studio that we have right now. And in it is Joseph Mojo Morganfield, his band The Mannish Boys. And Joseph, what are you going to start with? Oh boy, this is a problem.
It was going really good though, Wendy. I was really enjoying it right up until then.
I got the button that I'm supposed to have on. Yeah. Oh, don't make me sing the blues. I'm going to be singing the blues if we don't get the blues going.
All right.
This is the youngest son of the legendary Muddy Waters. Grew up in Westmont, Illinois.
Yeah.
And evidently a lot of blues musicians live in Westmont.
It is the capital of blues music, Wendy. For a long time it was Chicago, but we've moved it out to the suburbs. It's now in Westmont. All right, they're figuring out the glitch, I believe.
Bob Ferguson is running around like crazy. I have the button up he told me to have up, and I think we're almost there.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, Jess?
Oh, they can hear us. We just can't hear them.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, The Mannish Boys, on WGN.
Didn't have my baby by my side. Well, when the sun rose this morning, didn't have my baby by my side. Well, I didn't know where she was. She was out with some other guy. Don't the moon look lonesome, shining down through the trees? Shining down through the trees. Don't your house look lost when your baby back and leave? Oh, baby back to me. Well, if I don't hurry up and find that girl, my heart's gonna be in misery.
All right, please forgive me for saying this, but that's what I'm talking about.
Is this what you're referring to?
Yes. Yes. I hate when people say that. It's Joseph Mojo Morganfield and the Manish Boys. They have a new four-song CD coming out tomorrow. It's called Mojo Rising, and they can't hear us right now. That was Blow Wind Blow, a Muddy Waters song, and now they're going to do an original. So, Bobby Ferguson, you just cue them. It's Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, the Manish Boys.
You're feeling blue, you're looking down. Well, we're gonna wipe away that frown. Baby, let's play chess. Well, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Chicago soul taught the world to rock and roll. Otis Rush and Otis Band, Maybelline and I'm a Man. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Jimmy Rogers say that's all right. The Manish Boys, the Seven Son, the Howlin' Wolf, and I ain't done. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
He wants to play chess, Wendy. He's not messing around.
That's an original composition, Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, The Mannish Boys. That is a tribute to Chess Records.
Yes, it is.
They no longer, right? Didn't they get rid of Chess
they
Records
are gone.
Here?
Yep, defunct.
Ah, oh, that's bad. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to thank Joseph Mojo Morganfield and his band, The Mannish Boys, Maurice, Paul, Chris, Rick, and Mike. It's WGN Radio. All right, a special thank you, Joseph Mojo Morganfield, his band, The Mannish Boys. You are the youngest son of the legendary Muddy Waters. It's an honor. You guys were rocking it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Losing it.
I guess.
We're excited about the new CD, that original by Terry, Let's Play Chess, we hope will do well.
And that's a tribute to Chess Records.
That is correct.
And your daddy's song, Blow Winds Blow.
Yes, Blow Wind Blow, Mississippi Found Me. So we got some good songs on there.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. You can go to josephmojomorganfield.com to find out all your information. Good luck on the CD, and we
thank
hope
you.
To see you again.
And thanks for having me, guys.
More than welcome. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Steve. God, I wish Bertrand was sticking around for this, because this is a story that we need to discuss.
He's a very busy man.
I know, but there were some issues going on an airplane. We have to be careful here. But I want to tell you...
Do we want to issue a warning for younger or more sensitive listeners?
Yeah, but then I should leave.
Oh. Because of which one? Because of the more sensitive, right?
Ouch. All right, there's a girl, Michaela Dixon. She's sitting in the middle seat on a United Airlines flight from Orange County to Chicago on August 11th. So this is a couple weeks ago. And the person sitting next to her, a guy that she didn't know, was one is the loneliest numbering.
he was practicing self-love there on the airplane, right?
Practicing? Don't you guys perfect it?
No, please.
All right.
Always room for improvement.
21-year-old girl. She's sitting there, and the guy next to her that she doesn't know is having some fun.
Yeah.
By himself. All right?
Yeah.
Do we all know where we're going here?
Yeah.
Dixon is 21 years old. She told BuzzFeed News that her boyfriend was asleep in the window seat.
Mm-hmm.
The man was in the aisle seat, so she's right in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked to be in his 50s, wearing an orange tank top, blue shorts, and she says, quote, was rubbing himself through his pocket, and he was making noises and breathing heavily.
Oh.
See, that's what gives it away.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's true, isn't it?
At one point, the man put his hands down his pants. So she woke up her boyfriend to make sure she wasn't seeing things.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend says, it's absolutely what you think it is. And according to BuzzFeed News, it went on for the final 1.5 hours of the 5-hour flight.
Seriously?
He evidently needs practice.
Wow. You don't get extra miles for that, do you?
So she says she just she shook silently in her seat for hours.
That's the opposite of what he was doing.
I just had the worst panic attack of my life. She tweeted, quote, that was traumatic as heck.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
She added later that there were young children right across the aisle who could have been exposed to his perversion.
That's not right.
Here's the thing.
What was the in-flight movie, does it say?
You make this even harder.
I'm just curious.
Oh,
I just
want to
say
that.
I'm just curious.
Dixon said she froze. She didn't feel comfortable confronting the man while the plane was in the air, so she complained to the flight attendant as the plane was taxiing on the runway in Chicago. So she waited the whole flight, and then they had landed, and she finally said something.
Oh.
The flight attendant moved her to another row. And she said, told her that the crew had contacted law enforcement officials to meet the man at the gate.
Because it's got to be illegal.
Yeah, it is?
It's got to be, isn't it?
I don't know that he was exposing himself.
Oh,
is it
that's
illegal?
That's interesting. So normally, if you're exposing yourself, obviously something has
indecent
to be visible.
Exposure.
But he was doing it fairly covertly where he was covered.
Yeah.
Right?
The flight attendant moved her to another row, as I said. The airline, as it turns out, never...
Did the guy, the perpetrator, continue to service himself while this woman was being moved to another part of the airplane?
See, I
that's tough to fathom.
Yeah, I don't really understand this.
And is it pronounced Boeing or Boing, 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 Boing? How do you pronounce it, Wendy? It's Boeing, right? The maker of the airplane.
How old are you?
Six.
The flight attendant moved her to another row, and she said, told her that the crew had contacted law enforcement.
Yeah.
The airline never called law enforcement. The alleged perpetrator was escorted out of the terminal by United's own security personnel and then released.
Now, I hope he was in solitary confinement. I hope.
Are you going to just keep going?
I got about three more.
All right. Well, hang on. Let me tell a story in between your punchlines. All right,
please.
United first told BuzzFeed News that it did contact Chicago police. Then a spokesperson later said that its flight crew and gate agent had decided not to do so.
Yep, we wash our hands of this, they said.
The airline is now reviewing why that never happened.
Oh, interesting.
Dixon said United gave her $75 for the trouble.
That's the going rate on something like
that? That's a slam. And it took the guy an hour and a half.
That's either amazing or I feel sorry for him. I'm not sure which.
No single agency keeps track of how often people are reported for doing that on planes, which is a federal crime. I guess it is. See,
federal crime.
I'm too easy, evidently.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that's a crime.
You're free to leave. You get a slap on the wrist.
I'm ashamed of you.
I am too.
You're ashamed of yourself?
I am. I've never been more ashamed of myself.
All right. Now, forgive me for not knowing this, but I wouldn't have thought that was a federal offense. I mean, if you're doing it covertly, I'm not saying to do it. Please trust me.
Did he cross state lines? Because I think that's what makes it a federal offense. Did he start in one state and end in another? You can't do that.
They say it's a federal crime that falls under the FBI's jurisdiction. Just shut up. That spoke for itself.
According to the penal code, Wendy, this man is clearly in violation.
You have a cockpit joke coming up?
That's dirty. I'm embarrassed now.
All right.
You're taking it too far.
The Association of Flight Attendants told BuzzFeed News that it's almost always men.
Almost always. I'd say 99.99999% of the time. It's almost always.
Almost always men. It's usually on night flights when the lights are low. And
sure.
people try to be discreet and do it under a blanket.
Wow.
In which case, listen, I'm not for it or against it.
Right.
I'm just saying if people don't know what you're doing,
sure.
Then how can they report you?
Right. Probably people get away with it every day. We don't know. I thought that was turbulence on my flight. I guess not. You've seen these in-flight magazines, Wendy. They're very exciting.
Well, I do love shopping.
Right.
It gets me excited to look at all the things from the Sky
Lab.
What's it called?
Sky Lab.
No, the Sky Shopping thing.
Sky Shopping.
For someone sitting next to a perpetrator, it could be panic-inducing, could make them feel they're being sexually assaulted, or could lead to a sexual assault. I'd like to see the studies to say how many times a guy...
Yeah.
Doing that leads to an assault. I bet not many, if any.
Right. I'm sure the numbers are low. I'm
positive. It is plain creepy and gross. that's according to BuzzFeed.
Right.
Now, listen to this. Dixon is one of several women over the past 10 years who have accused various airlines of failing to protect them from masturbating men. There, I said it.
Oh.
In some cases, women said that the airline failed to notify law enforcement. In others, women said the flight crew mishandled the complaint.
They did what now?
By joking about it, not receipting them, or not confronting the alleged offender.
Right.
Here's my main question.
Right.
If I'm sitting next to someone that I don't know and that happens,
yes.
I am pretty much very outspoken,
right.
But if they were right next to me,
what would you say?
I would say anything.
Nothing? You got to speak up.
I think I would call the flight attendant and ask if there's another open seat, but I'd say 9.5 out of 10 times there aren't open seats because they overbook all the airlines.
Right, because of this.
And also, what would the flight attendant say to them?
Right. Sir, I asked if you wanted peanuts, not this.
All right, we have to take a break and regroup. But I just, first of all, I'm sorry I didn't know it was a federal offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
is it a federal offense if you can't see it? I mean, because really, if no one sees it, I mean, I'm not saying I want to sit next to someone like that on a plane.
You can say that about any crime. If nobody knows you committed the crime, is it still a crime?
What if they're in the exit row?
This guy was in the exit row.
All right, 312.
Oh, he's in the aisle seat. I'm sorry.
981-7200, 312-981-7200. I just have so many questions.
Right. If you're just joining us, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We've combined two segments. We've combined Sex Thursdays with a new do-it-yourself segment.
DIY?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Long story super short, if you just tuned in, there's a 21-year-old girl sitting in the middle seat on a United flight from Orange County to Chicago. This is August 11th, so a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And there's a guy that is pleasuring himself sitting on the aisle seat. Her boyfriend is sitting on the window seat.
He's napping.
Yeah,
right?
And she woke him up and he's like, yep, that's exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. This was allegedly going on for the final 1.5 hours of a 5-hour flight. I have various questions.
Wow.
If you're sitting, like if there, the guy was a row across from me, I might be able to go, hey, what are you doing? Go to the lavatory.
So it all depends for you.
Right next to you is too close. Where
the person is sitting. That's what makes you decide.
He could switch his aim. I don't know. But that was one question I had. Another one is, what does a flight attendant say if you do ring your little bell and say, excuse me?
That's a weird euphemism, Wendy.
But Kara, you have the best question of all. Go ahead.
What was wrong with the boyfriend?
She woke the boyfriend up.
What is he doing?
I am so with you. Why didn't the boyfriend just go, dude, take it elsewhere?
Right.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Or trade seats with her and say, you know, dude, knock it off. I mean, that's disgusting.
That's what he was trying to say.
He was already knocking it off.
Oh, good morning, everybody. I don't have any answers, and now I feel really stupid again because I didn't know it was a federal offense. But I guess if you're doing it in public, and that would constitute public,
yes,
it is.
Right, that's where you got your crime.
Wow.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for all your questions.
Thanks, guys.
They're all good ones.
But we have no answers.
We don't have any answers.
Thank you, Kara.
Questions lead to more questions.
April has a comment. Hi, April.
Hi, Wendy. I love you guys.
Thank you. Still?
I had a similar incident that I experienced when I was going to visit my mom. I was on the bus, on the foster bus, going to visit her, and that was way going down to Pulaski. So I don't know if you know that area.
Mm-hmm.
But when the bus got to Kimball, people got off the front, people got off the back. And one of the people that got off of the back was a young lady. She went right to the front of the bus and said something to the bus driver. And then she was motioning to the back, pointing at some gentleman that was sitting back there. And the bus driver just looked back there, and she made sure who she was talking about, the young lady, you know, describing what the man had on. And
right. Or didn't have on.
Right, exactly. And so the young lady got off the bus, went out her way, and the bus driver announced to everybody that this bus was going to be sitting here for a while. And she said, yeah, I know. She was directly talking to the gentleman in the back, saying, yeah, I know what you did. So everybody had to get off the bus, and these two big guys that were sitting in the back with this gentleman stayed on the bus. One was on crutches. And they just made sure that he didn't leave. So,
oh, they called the police.
I'm sorry?
They called the police?
Yeah. She had called in, I guess, her, you know, her boss or whatever, or the police, and they stayed on the bus with this gentleman until they got there, and everybody took another bus. And it was just flabbergasting to me that this guy was doing this on a crowded bus.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess now that I think about it, because I thought if you're covering it up on a plane and no one knows, but if no one knows, then who's going to complain?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess this young lady...
Wait a minute.
You wouldn't turn yourself in. I mean, that has never happened.
If you were discreet about it, no one would complain.
So you should be rewarded. If you're good at this,
rewarded.
You get rewarded.
That's not what I'm saying.
But this young lady, I guess she was sitting so close to him and seeing what he was doing, it just really disturbed her.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, so.
Did you change your bus line?
No, that's the only way. That was the easiest way, because when my mom is in a nursing facility, and that was the easiest way to get to where she's at.
All right. Well, be careful out there.
Be careful out there. Solid
Thank
advice.
You. I love you guys.
Thank you,
April. The wheels on the bus. I don't even know what to do.
Well, I don't know what to do. No.
I got to edit myself. Right. But, I mean, I didn't realize this happened.
Well.
Now I'm worried about men I work with.
Why?
If it can happen on a plane, it can happen in the newsroom.
No, it's strictly for airplanes.
It could happen in the.
Come on.
The jock lounge.
What, this was
the
TWA?
Room. No, it was United.
Oh, United. Well, it couldn't be Virgin Airlines. That's impossible, right? Have to be United.
No, it could be. Maybe that's the problem.
Right.
I just am embarrassed that I didn't realize it was a federal offense. I guess you can't do that stuff in public. But again, there was no...
Right.
If it was discreet, no one would know. I bet people do this all the time on the plane, mostly men.
Oh, don't say that.
I bet they do.
No, they'd have to ask. Like, they go, do you want an aisle seat or a window seat? Will you be pleasuring yourself? Like, they have to ask you these questions now when selling a ticket. The FAA, they're cracking down, like crazy.
I hate to say this, but remember the days when they used to reuse the blankets? What?
They still do.
No, they don't. Don't you?
Well, yeah, they still.
I never
asked
for a blanket.
They don't throw them away when you're done.
My advice is always bring a hoodie.
That's boy.
And
that's,
look at it. It'll come in handy for other reasons
advice.
Too.
That's great advice.
What's wrong with men?
It's just one guy. It's just that one guy.
I know. They said it's. They've had like
a
10 complaints. Yeah.
About that same guy?
No,
different
about
guys.
Men on airplanes.
No.
My mouse isn't working. Hang on.
It's a separate issue.
I know. Now I can't think of anything without giggling like a little boy.
Yeah. By the way, the texters couldn't be more split on this topic. Have you read the text?
No.
Some people say that this is the greatest moment of radio ever. Other people have passed away. They've just given up with life. They don't want to deal with it anymore.
In 2014, 38 cases of in-flight sexual assault were reported to the FBI. That number increased to 63 in 2017. But this is not sexual assault.
Well,
to yourself,
it's,
maybe
it's right. This is a separate category.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I don't know if they've kept track of these incidents.
You know what the in-flight movie was, Wendy?
I'm on break.
Han Solo.
That's all I got.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
He's Dean. He's Dean. He's Dean. He's Dean. He's Dean. He's Dean.
He is Dean.
Dean was cooking this morning.
That's what I heard.
So was that guy you were talking about right before the news.
Yes, he
I
was.
I don't understand, man. I swear to God.
But this guy doesn't... Wait, Dean, you heard part of the segment. I don't think this guy represents all men.
I don't...
Do you?
I can honestly say I've never done that.
No.
I don't know.
Not on an eastbound flight, anyway.
As far as I know, I've been on a lot of planes.
Yes.
I have never seen that.
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, and I'm nosy. I look around. I like to see what's going on around me.
All right, but if you did see it, would you say something? Because it would be hard to say something.
No, I would.
Excuse me, can you take that elsewhere? What do you say?
Oh, to the guy?
Yeah.
I don't know if I think I probably would say something to the person.
Hey.
Because there are kids, there's probably kids around.
Yep.
Not that it's that much more appropriate for just adults. Right. But
an adults only flight.
But I would say, hey, what are you doing?
Dean, there's
a new...
And
then he'd tell you what he was doing.
But I would also, I think I would also ring the little bell and...
That's what he was doing.
Dean, I hear he was in getting down to business class.
Oh, boy.
That's crazy. Dean, I have a quick question for you. Before we get to the movies that will be coming out this weekend, I hope you saw the same story I saw this morning. There's a movie that Orson Welles made or started making 40 years ago that's finally going to be released, and I watched the trailer for it, and I love Orson Welles, and this looks awful.
I did not see this story, so fill me in.
He made a movie, or started making a movie, called The Other Side of the Wind, and Orson Welles, despite making movies like Gone with the Wind... No, he didn't make Gone with the Wind. He did Citizen Kane. I'm sorry. He had nothing to do with
Gone
with the Wind.
I thought you were reading that.
He saw Gone with the Wind.
Next thing you know, you're going to say that the Martians invaded Earth.
All right, so just if you just
hey,
make...
what's that Martian doing on that
right, that doesn't seem right. All right, so if you just make one movie, and that movie is Citizen Kane, you're a genius. You know what you're doing. And he made Magnificent Ambersons. He made some great movies, but sometimes he got a little experimental, and he put together this movie called The Other Side of the Wind,
right,
about a director making experimental movies, and people who saw it at the time went, this isn't good. We can't release this. But now they've re-edited it. They finished it. And like I said, I saw the trailer this morning, and as excited as I was to see it, when I watched the trailer, I went, oh, no, this doesn't look right.
Yeah, I when you said the title of the film, I had heard that story. I wasn't placing Orson Welles in the whole thing. So I'm curious to see it, but I have to say that I think Orson Welles' best work was his early work.
Yep.
I became a little disenchanted later on.
But how do you go from being, because, I mean, he was such an innovator and such a genius, and then as time went on.
Yeah, I hear her.
What did you say? What is that?
Would you like a Chinese bun?
A Chinese bun.
Chinese bun.
Was that code?
I think she was listening to the segment.
I think she was. I think she was. Was that our friend Ala La La La?
It is.
Yeah?
Is this what?
That one has mango.
We're on the air.
It's a bun with stuff in it.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Did you not watch my Around Town this morning?
Do you know we're on the air right now? Do you know that we're on the air with Bill and Wendy right now?
Hi, Bill and Wendy. I love you.
Hi, Anna.
I love you all the time.
If, you know, if you want to just come on the show, we'll just have you on the show. You don't have to horn in on Dean's segment.
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, okay. Did you take the Chinese bun?
Take the Chinese bun, Dean.
She
it
gave
sounds...
me the bun. And...
Oh, like a wow bow?
Yeah.
No, she was... She was... Now she's opening flowers that somebody left her because it was her birthday this week.
Oh.
Happy birthday. It is fun to do.
Wendy says happy birthday.
They wished me a happy birthday. Jasmine sent me a note. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, on our behalf.
Yeah, so,
thanks, Jazzy.
No, I was outside cooking all morning, as Wendy
I know, pork
mentioned.
Tenderloin.
And so I did not see...
Are you drinking?
No.
Were you drinking the cooking sherry
Anna's
this morning?
Just making loud noises to screw
Anna.
With Dean.
Yeah, it's just Anna. It's like being at the theater and someone's got a bag of Twizzlers.
Isn't there a new sitcom called That's Just Anna?
That's yeah.
Just Anna.
On the WB. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Quietly.
So, Dean, what were you saying? Giving
us... Oh, are you on the air?
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
Is this going on?
This is called a microphone that we're talking into.
Wow.
I don't know if you know how this whole broadcasting thing works. Or that every Thursday at this time, I'm pretty much here doing this.
Next time she's around town at the Galloping Ghost, I'm going to run in the camera and steal the
ruin
camera
it.
Shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Totally bust the shot.
We were talking about Orson Welles.
In this movie, I became disenchanted with his work later on, as he got older. So I'm curious to see what this movie's going to be about, but... I have to say, I'm not super excited.
It's a cast that's made up of mostly other directors. He's got John Huston playing the lead. He's got Peter Bogdanovich with a big supporting role.
I love him.
A couple of other directors that were in vogue 40 years ago. But I watched this clip, and I couldn't wait to see it because I've been hearing about this movie since I was a kid, and it just looked dreadful. I hope I'm wrong. I hope so badly I'm wrong. I love Orson Welles.
So self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem? I haven't seen one frame of the film. I shouldn't say that, but...
We'll see.
It seems super, super self.
Is Paul Masson in it?
No, Paul Masson is not in it.
Isn't that the wine?
The man who made the wines that he would not serve before their time.
Right. No.
Are you drinking?
I wish.
No, none of that. All
I
right,
made more than just pork tenderloin this morning, by the way. I made three different kinds
salmon.
Of pizzas. I made three different kinds of seafood.
Leave the skin on the grill. Skin side down.
Yeah, skin side down. It's like super easy. People are so afraid to grill fish because they think it's going to fall apart. It doesn't fall apart.
No.
All the recipes are WGNTV.com/Dean's Cooking.
I did try a pork tenderloin because of you.
Delicious.
It is pretty good, yeah.
You know it's lower fat content
than chicken breast.
Than chicken breast.
Dean taught me that, and I made it, and everybody enjoyed it, just with garlic, olive oil, and I think salt and pepper.
I made one with all of that, plus orange marmalade, like an orange marmalade glaze.
Oh, that sounds
just
good.
Just orange marmalade right out of the jar. Nothing complicated.
No pizza margarita, though.
No.
I did not do pizza margarita this time because I make pizza margarita every time. Larry Potash enjoys it, but I thought, why don't we do something that the viewers will enjoy and not just Larry Potash?
Yeah. Yeah.
Screw Larry.
Wow. Wow. That was very telling.
Oh,
that audio
her.
Clip is going to last for
that
your
That was very,
career.
Very telling. All right, we must take a quick break, and then Dean will come back
Anna's
and tell us.
Anna's not done yet.
About,
what do you mean?
Anna
I
has
love
more to
her.
Share.
Not done making noise yet.
Right. All right. So all things ahead. Stick around for all things. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN.
The horse one.
I want to eat this Chinese bun during the break.
Eat my Chinese bun.
Oh, my God. I can't handle it anymore. All right. Here we go. All right, Bill. We're chatting with Dean Richards and guest.
Yes.
Best segment ever.
A very subtle Anna Balaval in the background. You can barely notice her.
She stepped away.
Oh, she did. Oh.
All right, hurry up. What was
our boss? She's right. Our boss's off. She's giving one of those Chinese buns to our boss's off.
Dean, start out with, if you wouldn't mind,
Operation... She saw Crazy Rich Asians this week, so she's really...
Can I ask you a quick question about that movie, by the
sure.
way? I don't think anyone expected it to do... It looked like a great movie, and I know your review of it was very favorable, but it was the number one movie the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's made a ton of money. It's headed exactly down the path that My Big Fat Greek Wedding went down.
Yeah.
That it was a movie that everybody thought, so that's kind of delightful, and then went on to... maintain its position in the box office. I think it's still the number one independent film of all time in terms of total box office. And I'll bet Crazy Rich Asians, don't tell my Greek relatives this, is going to beat it in the box office because people are loving this movie. And it's you talk about a movie that's powered on word of mouth. Everybody's going to see this movie. They enjoy how funny it is. They enjoy how touching it is, how beautiful it is. How smart it is, what it represents in representing Asian actors and actresses in a way that they haven't been in decades. So, if you're looking for one for the holiday weekend, that's definitely one I recommend.
So that fear that has always permeated Hollywood where they say, oh, if we make a movie with an all-Asian cast or all-Hispanic cast or all-African-American cast, that's who's only going to see the movie. That's kind of fading away finally, isn't it?
I don't think it ever really existed that much. I think, as I've said over and over and over with movies that really have nothing to do with an all-anything kind of cast, it's all about the story. If the story's not there, it doesn't make any difference what else is happening, what special effects are there, what stars are in the movie, what their ethnicities are.
Yep.
I think it all comes down to the story. And this is just a really, really lovely, well-told story. Everything else is just, extra on it.
Right. Well, Dean, you and I prove that because, Wendy, I don't know if you know this, every Saturday, Dean and I go to see how Stella got her groove back. We've been doing that every week since it first came out.
Bill is I didn't know Bill was a crier the way that he
is. Oh, boy. Am I?
I wouldn't have guessed it, but, man, to turn on the waterworks.
Yep.
Opening scene, waterworks.
It's a little damp. It does. All right, let's talk about Operation Finale. What do we need to know about this?
This is the true story, World War II story, about the capture of the Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann, very powerfully played by Sir Ben Kingsley in this movie. After the war, after World War II, he was one of Hitler's henchmen who got away and turns out was living in Buenos Aires. And he was tracked down by Israeli intelligence. And this movie is about a top secret plot to capture him and take him to Israel to face charges, to stand trial for his horrific war crimes. And Ben Kingsley is quite good in this movie. Oscar Isaac is one of the Israeli intelligence officers. It's a very interesting story. I vaguely remember the capture of Adolf Eichmann from reading in history books, but it was a good reminder for me that all of that happened. I thought the movie, though, really was kind of flat.
Hmm.
I didn't find it overly intriguing, and normally I like these sort of historically based movies, and especially ones that are well performed. I think it's just the direction in this one that was not terribly interesting. I wound up giving it a C+. It's an okay movie. It's not a great movie.
How about the range of Ben Kingsley, though, to be able to play a guy like Eichmann and also Gandhi? That's quite a swing,
right? Yeah. And I mean, he's and everything in between. Those are certainly the two extremes. But he plays everything else in between with beautiful sensitivity. You almost find Adolf Eichmann a compassionate and likable character in this movie, which I think is sort of the point of his portrayal, that he was trying to show an other side of this horrific war criminal. That there was a man behind it, and that there was reasoning behind it. Not that any of the reasoning makes one bit of sense, but it's just too bad that the whole thing felt sort of two dimensional and a little bit on the flat side. So, Operation Finale is what it's called, and Dean's List C+.
I also want to mention Oscar Isaac is one of those actors who, if you don't know who he is, you should kind of pay attention, because he's going to, if he's not huge now, he's right on the verge of being huge, don't you think?
Oh, I think he's, he's in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
He's in the reboot of the Star Wars movies. And, you know, certainly from a pop culture standpoint, he is, certainly part of that. But he was in X-Men, Apocalypse. What was that jazz movie that he was in?
Inside
Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah. You didn't know that off the top of your head.
Yeah.
You're on IMDb.
No, but I'm trying to find... He did a movie called Ex Machina a couple years ago.
Ex Machina.
Machina, right.
Machina was how you said that.
Yeah. Neener, neener, neener. You got something wrong.
I did. I'm sorry.
I don't even know if that's right or not, but I just I wanted to make Bill sound wrong.
But no, I'm probably wrong.
I believe it's Ex Machina, but he was amazing in that. And
kind of a Steve Jobs character in that.
I don't want people to forget.
Sexy Beast.
Because he's been in X-Men and Star Kingsley. Wars. Oh.
Thanks, listener.
He's in these, in some beautiful art films also. That is worth seeing. So Bill's 100% correct. If you're not aware of Oscar Isaac now, be aware. I think he's got a George Clooney quality about him.
Yeah,
like super handsome, rugged leading man kind of look.
Who can also do coffee commercials?
Does he?
No, but George Clooney does.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
he does the Nescafe commercials. Yeah. How's the career going, George? He just sold his tequila company for like $12 billion.
I know. He does all right. He
doesn't need that. By the way, Oscar Isaac is going to be Gomez Adams in an Adams Family animation that's coming
out. Oh, I didn't know that. Even better. I like him even more now. All right, what about Searching? What do we need to know about Searching?
Searching is this movie with John Cho, who you may know best from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I love that movie.
Whatever that was called. I loved the, were there two or three of those now?
Oh, I can't.
Harold and Kumar movies.
Two, for sure.
Two.
Yeah.
At least two. I can't remember if there's three. And that's really what the movie that put...
Cal Penn?
Not Cal Penn. Mm-hmm. He was his partner, but the actor who was on Broadway and Big Song and Dance. Neil Patrick Harris.
Playing himself in that movie.
Brought Neil Patrick Harris's career back from the dead in those Harold and Kumar movies.
Playing himself.
But
much like our last segment.
Yeah.
Where
Sorry, Dean.
The wording is so close.
I know.
John Cho plays a single father in this movie. His teenage daughter goes missing. His teenage daughter is played by a young actress named Michelle Lah. And he goes nuts trying to find his daughter, gets some help from Deborah Messing from Will and Grace, who really does a great job in a completely dramatic role in this movie, trying to track them down. But what I thought made this movie so interesting is that the search in the movie called Searching is done online. It's a search on web searches and social media and FaceTime and Google Map, and everything is digital in this movie. So it feels like the premise, you know, a guy's daughter goes missing, he goes nuts trying to find it. Sounds like Liam Neeson should be walking in the door.
Yes, it does.
With his particular set of skills to try to solve
it. I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you.
But it's John Cho who kind of breathes new life into this genre in this very interesting story, very well directed, really good performances. Dean's List B+, Searching on this one.
Much better.
Yeah.
Dean, thank you so much.
Thank you for a very entertaining half hour. I feel like I was in a Fellini movie part of the time. That's Anna Balaval, but...
Right. Rightfully so.
I'm on the radio. Leave me alone.
You know, whatever. Whatever happens, happens.
She's a half a block away from me in the newsroom and heard me just say her name.
What? Here she comes.
Here she comes. Yeah.
No, she's in the meeting.
All right. We'll talk to you in a week. Thank you,
Thank you, Dean.
Have a good week.
She's in a meeting and is still able to yell back at you?
She's in a meeting halfway across the room. She can still hear me say her name.
That's the talent of Anna Balaval.
She's amazing.
Crazy. She's crazy.
Yep. We know. We know.
Do you need help? Blink once for yes.
Right.
Two for no.
John Cho is going to find you. He'll bring you back to normal. All right. Thanks,
Dean.
Have
a good weekend.
Bye. All right. Shall we talk to Steve? You and I, Wendy, are headed toward the stream. The next hour, the bonus hour, can be heard on the stream. Please join us. We've got some good things planned for you.